All right. Some fine music. Benny Golson and his quintet with My Blues House. And I just love that tune. Of course, Golson is on trumpet. Golson is on tenor sax. He's the composer and arranger of that tune. Curtis Fuller is on trombone, Ray Bryant on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. This is from Golson's 1959 album, The Essential Benny Golson. Still hanging in there with his music. This is Lead Stories. I'm Nutrice Lead, and lots to talk about today. Up first is the big story now that Derek Chauvin of the kneeling on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes, almost 9.5 minutes until he died fame, is in court today. And he's in court to respond to federal charges that he violated George Floyd's civil rights. He's serving 22.5 years on a state second degree murder conviction for killing Floyd. But he's expected, and I think he's already pled guilty, to the federal charge of basically depriving Floyd of his civil rights. That right specifically being his right to life. Well, we've covered this case quite a bit. I'm hoping that you remember some of the details because we want to move on from where we left off. And I was wondering what you thought might have been the reason that Chauvin decided to change his plea. He pleaded guilty the first time to the first business of second degree murder under the state statutes for killing Floyd by kneeling on his knee and ignoring Floyd's plea that he couldn't breathe. So we dealt with that. But now this is a federal charge, and the federal charge essentially is not murder, but violating George Floyd's civil rights. So it appears that Chauvin is going to change his plea, which is interesting. And now we can conjecture what this means. What does it signify that he's doing this? What do you think is the reason for him acknowledging his guilt, essentially, in this federal charge of killing Floyd, when in fact, in the first instance, on the state level, he maintained his innocence? 888-874-4888. We don't have the answer, of course, but we can certainly, when I say we don't have the answer, we don't have it written in stone, but we can reasonably assume certain facts and that we have become familiar with, and now it would allow us to conjecture as to why this change of plea at the federal level when he was adamant about his innocence in the state trial. 888-874-4888. What do you think is the reason that he's taking this tact? What is behind it, you think? Is it a genuine feeling of contrition that he wants now? He has come to terms with what he has done, and he wants to come clean. Or is there something else happening here that we need to pay attention to? What is going on in your head? Mohammed from New York, you're the first caller.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and
good afternoon.
Okay, just going to having a little experience in law myself. When you have a charge like that, what they'll do is offer you a plea. Many times, if you take the plea, they'll give you a lesser sentence. If you challenge them when you know you're guilty, then they'll make your sentence longer. So what his lawyers have probably done is, having them plead guilty, they're going to try to have them run that sentence concurrent with the sentence he already had. Thank you very much for hearing me.
Okay, but what will the court have to do? That's what he wants. What do you think the court wants?
You know, we really don't know, but that's what the lawyers do. And doing that from experience myself and having been in that situation, if you challenge them and you know you're wrong and they know you're wrong or they know you're guilty, they'll stretch your sentence out. But if you plead guilty, they'll give you a little less. And he might get them to run it concurrent, meaning that it'll go at the same time as sentence going now. Consecutive is when you finish on one sentence, you start on another. And I'm pretty sure his lawyers are hoping that if he plead guilty, that they will try to run it concurrent. Meaning
okay.
Go with this. Time will pass, it will go for both sentences. That's what his lawyers is looking at.
Well, excellent point. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888. We're seeing a kind of about face by Derek Chauvin, who had killed George Floyd by kneeling on his neck and depriving him of the ability to breathe, and also kneeling on his neck for almost 9.5 minutes, and offering no aid to him, to Floyd, that is, even though it was clear that he was in desperate need of help. Now he is in court again, and this concerns the federal charges. And the federal charges have to do with, again, not offering help and depriving, this is the broad statement about the charge, depriving George Floyd of his civil rights. So the question now becomes, what is the objective here, you think, by Derek Chauvin? 888-874-4888. I think Mohammed made a very good point that perhaps he's after making a deal of some sort. He already knows his sentence on the state level, and maybe he's hoping that by showing some kind of humanity here and showing that he does realize the severity of what he did and confesses to it in the form of a plea, that the court would be sympathetic to him and reduce his sentence, which would be best served, in his view, this is Chauvin's view, best served concurrently as opposed to consecutively. That's an excellent, excellent point. But there are other things that I think come to mind, or should come to mind, based on how we've dealt with this case and how we remember Mr. Chauvin. This act of contrition, of course, serves a purpose. What could it be, you think? We got a tremendous start with Muhammad's answer. What is your answer? 888-874-4888. It's, in a way, quite cynical, I think. But, of course, he's fighting for his life. This is Chauvin. Fighting for his life. And he will do whatever he has to do to win. And winning means to substantially reduce his jail time. Winning also means rehabilitating his tarnished reputation as a killer. And a killer of black men. This is not a good thing. Even if he prevails in his objective to have the cases combined or the sentences combined and served concurrently. But there's something else going on here. Could you sense what it is? I'd love to know. If you sense what it is, call in at 888-874-4888. Come on now, we got to move. You're being a little sluggish. And this is the kind of question you need movement on. People should be thinking about this already so that when the so-called news breaks, it's not news to you. You already have a good start. You already have a good start. Now, what else do you think is at play here? In Chauvin changing his plea on the federal charge, what could be behind it? 888-874-4888. I sound like I'm running a bidding. See who bids and gets the highest answer. We really should make use of this time, and this is assuming that you're keeping up with the news. If you notice, I'm not getting too deep into some of these stories because we've done that already. And the assumption is you were paying attention when these topics were covered. And in some cases, very, very broadly covered and very deeply covered. So one assumes that you have a working knowledge of the topic. But sometimes we get surprised and you present a topic for the day and things are quite slow on the phones, which means people either weren't paying attention or they're not interested, which is it in this case. I can't believe that there's no interest. I wouldn't believe that. I wonder whether you had paid rapt attention at the time that we covered it in great detail. 888-874-4888. This is a significant case from a legal point of view and from other points of view, too, having to do with people's rights. What is the obvious question that comes to mind that this is now an issue in the court? What is the obvious question here? What is absent here in this case so far? Could you pick it up? Did you detect it? Were you inclined to ask the same question? What is it? We can't go all the time by what is reported as the news. It may contain some elements that are important. But for people who are thinking, you always have other questions that are never answered. And you always have to exercise your brain. And you ask yourself, what is missing here? What is missing in this report that you expected to hear or expect to be told in the future, in the immediate future. So that a lot of people think they have listened or seen or read the news, but not really. It's incomplete. And it's incomplete until you start asking these kinds of questions in order to arrive at a more solid answer. Do you have a solid answer, please? This is the time to call and share it. 888-874-4888. What is the implication, the immediate implication, you think? What is it? It's staring you right in the face. How the case is being handled at this juncture, there's a reason for it. What is that reason? What purpose will it serve? Any takers? 888-874-4888. Sounds like I'm an auctioneer. Come on now. I don't want to waste more time. I'll just move on into something else. But this is such a very important case, and it's a very important tactic of essentially, in legal terms, changing the subject. So now the cop that we saw as heartless, as cold and calculating, as murderous, as a person who has no respect for black life, decides suddenly, out of nowhere, to appeal to everybody's sensibility that he's really a nice guy and he's had time to think about his crime and he wants to atone. He wants people to know that he's a changed man with a conscience, and so he will plead guilty and just get it over with as quickly as possible. Take the sentence and move on. Everybody will move on with their lives. Is that what we're seeing? I mean, is that the story here? Or is there something else happening here that we haven't been told yet or we haven't sensed yet? What do you think? 888-874-4888. All right. We have no takers. Well, that was a serious miscalculation on my part. I thought this case would interest you, and I thought you would have a very keen eye, and you'd be able to detect there are some things that are just not making sense here yet, but will make sense soon. Muhammad got us off to a very, very good start, a very strong start in that direction. And I'm wondering what you have to say as the case takes a different turn as of today with a plea by Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of killing George Floyd, basically presenting himself as a contrite man, possibly even a changed man, who does not want to fight the obvious, and that is he knows and he believes and he does not want to contradict this belief right now that he is guilty on this federal charge. All right. If we have no takers, we just move on. Don't say I didn't ask you. Don't say you didn't have the opportunity to express your point of view. Very disappointing, by the way. But we move on. Did you guess what the S word that I talked about on Friday is? Did you guess it? Do you think you have it? What is that S word that we talked about? that is happening in Washington, D.C., and that no one so far has used. Not in a court of law, not in Congress, not even in casual conversation about what happened on January the 6th. This is very interesting. Something major happened to the country, to the U.S. Constitution, to everything that people believe about so-called democracy. What was it? And why is nobody bringing this up as the center of the argument against Trump and his followers? 888-874-4888. We now have two questions in motion, but there is no motion. What's going on, folks? This doesn't look good on you. What is that S word that we talked about that nobody would say? Did you have a chance to even look it up? Did you have a chance to think some more, talk to somebody else about it, and see what they think? It's a very important thing. It's right in our face, and we can't see it? I doubt so. 888-874-4888. This is the number to call to get on the air and share your views. It is interesting when people say, well, you know, we don't get a chance to say what we want to say. And I make sure that there is room for everybody's point of view to be expressed. And then you find yourself like molasses going uphill in winter, pushing it with a rake. It's that slow, where people are just reluctant to say what they think they want to say. So after a while, one dismisses these comments that they don't get enough time to talk. It's all about you. I say that all the time. It's all about you. And presenting your point of view. 888-874-4888. All right, I'll give it a few more minutes and then we move on. In fact, we're close to break time, so let's take a break and then we'll come back to your comments. Hopefully you have something to offer right after this break. We're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about some interesting developments, legal developments, that will have far-reaching ramifications. And we are back with this case of Derek Chauvin. You may recall him. He was a guy who knelt on George Floyd's neck, depriving him of the ability to breathe, even though Floyd was able to communicate that he couldn't breathe, and so he died. Meaning Chauvin, had initially indicated and insisted that he was innocent of any such charges. The state charges were about him depriving George Floyd of his life. These are federal charges, and the charge is specifically that he also deprived George Floyd of his life. But in this case, although Chauvin initially maintained that he was innocent in the state trial, he has changed his plea, and he has stated that he's guilty. He is pleading guilty in the federal trial, and we're trying to figure out what could have happened here to have brought him to this conclusion. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Patrice. Hello, Glenn.
I couldn't bear to listen to you swimming by yourself, so I'm jumping in the pool with you, but I don't want you to get mad at me. I really don't know. I wasn't here on Friday. I wasn't listening because I've been working on a lawsuit myself, and it totally immersed me in something I didn't want to do. So I don't know about the S thing. And as far as Chauvin, I heard it yesterday too, and I didn't listen to it on the court TV, which I think sometimes is helpful because they can usually give you an angle between behind the scenes, but why he's doing what he's doing. So I'm sure that he does not have any more remorse now than he did when he started this off. So can't really figure out what he's going to get from it. Maybe you're right. Maybe he'll just get concurrent sentences, but I don't know this man. But I don't think that having a stint in prison usually makes you a lot more remorseful, not at this early stage, not right now. I mean, he may have remorse about the fact that he just trashed his entire life. You know, I mean, I hope it was worth it to him because now he has no life at all. And he has a lot of sentence in front of him. But I don't really think that I don't think he's truly remorseful about what has happened. I think that'll take years for him to have to think about.
What makes you say that?
Because I think that, you know, I think people are driven by a lot of things, and it wasn't personal. I don't think that, you know, this thing with George Floyd, I think that it is a built up of hatred and anger, a lot of anger. And I kind of feel like this man is, I hate to use it, but I think he's probably a rageaholic. I mean, he's a very angry person. And, you know, he did it because he could do it. He obviously thought he would get away with it. But I certainly don't think I think prison breaks you down. It really, really breaks you down. And I think maybe 10 years from now, maybe he will feel more remorseful about it. But I think right now the biggest amount of remorse I would speculate that he's having remorse about his own predicament and feeling probably very, very sad that he did what he did basically to himself. I mean, yes, he killed this guy, but he hurt himself pretty bad too. This is serious stuff he's involved in, and it looks terrible. Being in prison is a terrible thing. It's a horrible place to be. No matter who you are, it's a horrible place.
Thanks, Gwen, for your offering today. We take it under advisement, as they say.
Oh, Rafa
from Virginia, you're on the air.
I was calling about the S word. I think you were mentioning that Trump was talk. Yeah. The word is he was using against, I think, so-called countries like Haiti and other countries that were mostly black. The word is shithole.
No, I'm afraid that's not the word.
Okay.
That's not the word. Thanks for your contribution. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are you, Trace?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm okay. Well, persevering. I'm persevering. I'm more than okay. I'm always persevering, no matter what.
Okay. So persevere with an answer to the question. What is Derek Chauvin?
No, I'm addressing the second topic.
I'm sorry?
I'm addressing the second topic you introduced about the S word.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Sedition. I think it was sedition, right?
That's correct. That's the word.
And I think it's most inappropriate. And I say that because anyone who really was studying what went on with the election knows that the same way people are in denial about this injection, it's the same, is a similar denial occurring in relationship to Trump and the stolen election, the massively stolen election. And we're in such denial that people don't realize that they're still suffering from this Trump syndrome since 2016. Black and white alike. The black people who refer to Clinton as the first black president, and those black people who were so in love with the Clintons that, like white women and other white people, they were hoping for Hillary Clinton to break that so-called ceiling, to break it more than they even were hoping for Shirley Chisholm, this most qualified black woman, to have broken the ceiling. And we keep taking a cheap shot using Trump. The division in this country, yes, Trump created some division, but we are not acknowledging the truth. And the truth was, they were trying to carry out a coup against Trump. That was treason.
Who was trying to carry out a coup against Trump? I thought it was the other way around. Trump was about trying to carry out his own coup.
No, that's not true. Shit. All the trials were a bunch of lies. Ukraine was a lie. The Russia hoax was a lie. They knew
okay,
that.
But wait a minute. Before you have a heart attack, just calm down for a little bit. You say these things as if they're fact. And you know them to be
facts. They are facts. It's been proven so. They are facts.
No. Don't use the passive.
Yes, they are facts.
Don't say it has been proven by whom?
Yes.
Has it been proven?
The reports show that even WikiLeaks.
Which reports specifically are you talking about?
From WikiLeaks and a lot of sources indicates that it was all...
No, that can't suffice. That doesn't suffice. WikiLeaks and a lot of sources. That's a very general term. When you're citing something that is supposed to shore up a very serious point you're making, you can't be so general. You have to be very specific.
Okay, I've heard you on many occasions, on several occasions, refer to this as Russia involved. Can you prove that? You cannot.
You have heard me say Russia is involved?
No. In past, you supported the Russia narrative. That Russia.
No, sir. You have the wrong person.
Oh, yeah? Hmm.
I went to Russia. And I talked to people in Russia, including high-level government officials. And I came away with the fact, with the feeling, too, that it is exactly like the United States. It's just the flip side. Everybody's lying. Everybody's misrepresenting the truth. Everybody is pulling a fast one on the populace. Everyone in government. Nobody is innocent of these allegations.
Nobody puts the fast one on the populace like the government of the USA.
But you're arguing according to, you're drifting. I like to stay with laser beam precision on a topic. That's how I like to do it. Okay. So indulge me for a while.
The trials showed, and I actually did research, it just so happened that
Which trials?
Ukraine, when they were trying to say
I'm not discussing Trump. Ukraine, I'm talking about Derek Chauvin, and I'm talking about the other matter that somebody raised later on.
No,
having to do with the word sedition.
F-word. I'm addressing the S-word, which you were talking about, and you use the S-word in reference to Trump. And I'm saying to you, there was no sedition. Trump was trying to get the people to go there to speak out against the stolen election. It was not about
Donald Trump. Oh, please, come on. Trump is a maniacal person. He lies about everything, including something that is supposed to be serious.
He's no less maniacal than the rest.
You keep watering down your argument. He's no less maniacal than the rest. So what? That means he's not maniacal?
So that means that you have no footing to be saying that.
Oh, well, that's your opinion.
Right.
I have footing, and I used my footing, and I said that.
If you're in a room with a bunch of criminals, and you're pointing one out as a criminal...
The man happens to be the former president of the United States. He's not in a room with criminals. He is, in many ways, exceptional in this regard. He was the leader of the United States. There was no other leader at the time than him.
The point is that you and others, many others, you keep going for this cheap shot using Trump, and it's just, you know, I mean... No,
I resent that. I don't do cheap shots.
No,
I have been reporting on Donald Trump for years. Years!
I'm talking in West...
Pointing out the fact that this man is decidedly off-center, psychologically, mentally, however you want to rate him, but it is so unfortunate that he ended up being the president of the United States. And we are seeing in so many ways why it was an unfortunate choice. But, you know, that's what goes with the so-called democracy.
Becoming president. It was no less unfortunate than Bush becoming president and wreaking havoc.
But you go again. It was no... He is bad, but so was Bush. That's not the argument I'm making. That's the argument you're making.
No, you just said it.
That's not my argument at all. And I'm not going to waste precious time talking about something so obvious that Donald Trump is a person who years ago needed to be in intensive therapy, intensive counseling, because there's something radically wrong with this man.
But
he was a president.
Let me say this to you. I am not speaking in defense of Trump, all right? And I hate to...
No, you're just speaking, and you're all over the place.
No,
and I don't like that. I like you making a point, make your point, and then depart.
I realize that a lot of people using Trump as an excuse to hide a lot of stuff. You know, Trump hasn't done anything as wicked as the overthrow of Libya.
There you go. He isn't as bad as Joe Dokes or Mary Moakes or Peter Pokes. So therefore, we accept his badness. Is that it? Is that your argument?
You're running from the truth. You're running from the wicked...
Okay, all right. Okay, please, give me a break today, okay? I feel a little vulnerable today. I just need to get my
strength. No, this is not a mutual admission society. We're here to talk about serious stuff. I'm not here...
Yes, we are, but it doesn't come across as serious when you're busy yelling and screaming and flinging accusations willy-nilly all over the place without you engaging in something else. I don't like that.
I'll tone it down, and I say there was no sedition, all right? I don't care how many times you all said it.
Okay, so you say it. Okay, I accept you said it. There's no sedition. Does that mean there was no sedition? No,
yes,
that's just what you say.
Because it's so. There was none.
you don't know how to debate, really. There was no sedition. How do you know? Because I said so.
No,
get out of here with that crap.
It's not working.
It's not a good intellectual approach.
The election, they didn't go there to try to overthrow the country. It was about the stolen election. That's why they went.
They didn't know what they were doing, except that they were following the orders of Donald Trump and his minions. show up and make your stand in defense of democracy, and now we'll go down to Congress, and now we'll assemble there. He knew exactly what the program was. Those people who were following his directions didn't have a clue.
Okay,
did not have a clue.
Since they knew that so many people were coming, how come they didn't make any preparations?
I'm not discussing Donald Trump, really. You know who needs to discuss Donald Trump? Psychiatrists. People who are trained psychiatrists need to discuss Donald Trump. To me, he is irrelevant, except I said, for example, that Donald Trump was busy constructing a parallel presidency. Did I not say that?
There was no parallel presidency. And even if he did...
All right, there we go. So you say it, therefore it is as you say. That's not a good argument.
No. You see, what my problem with you and Trump, Utrecht, is that you keep ignoring gross wrongs and keep referring to Trump. And whenever anyone...
Quite the opposite. First of all, I am well aware of a whole bunch of leaders who should not have been leaders and who should not be leaders. I'm very much aware of that. I wasn't born yesterday. I have some qualifications to come to conclusions myself. And as I said, I went to Russia. I didn't just stay here and conjecture. I went
to Russia during the time of the election.
Oh, Lord. Have a nice day. I got to go. I can't take more of this. I can't take, because we're not discussing. You're shouting and you're getting agitated, and I don't want to be responsible for a burst vessel in your head. When you calm down and you learn how to converse, how to make your point, how to debate, I'm perfectly willing to talk to you, but this is not it. And then you transfer your angst and your anger and your anxiety, or at least you attempt to transfer it to me, so I'm carrying your emotional burdens. No, sir. You're not that clever. You're clever, but you're not that clever. We'll talk again soon. Thanks. Rudy from Montreal, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrecht.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. I guess the S word is state charges. In other
words, we got the S word. The S word, really, that I was hoping people would recognize is sedition.
Okay.
Trump was doing, and his minions and his people closest to him, was that sedition? And if so, why is he not being charged with it?
I'm talking about Chauvin. Charges that the state has against Chauvin cannot be immunized by a federal pardon. So the reason he wants to accept a federal charges is because he could receive a pardon. But he can't receive a pardon if the charges are a state charge. I remember Charles Ortel saying that the HC there regarding the foundation was they couldn't be immunized if the state charged them and they found guilty in a state charge. The federal pardon is only a federal pardon.
Yes, well, they're two different jurisdictions.
Right. In other words,
if a state is finished with its prosecution of Chauvin, But what is interesting is that it was Chauvin himself who changed his plea. And I'm asking, what could have caused that to happen?
Well, he was more likely to get a pardon from the federal government than he would be from the state government. So he decided to go...
What makes you say that?
Sorry?
What makes you say that?
Well, because he can't get pardon. He only place he can get a pardon is from the federal government. So he decided to accept the charges from the federal government, and then a few years down the road, he would get a pardon for whether the crime he committed. And I'm wondering, but what happened to the other characters that helped him, the accomplices?
Yeah, the police officers?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, what happened? Trial soon.
Sorry?
They come up for trial soon.
Oh, I see. So that's my point of view when you were asking why he changed his plea to a federal charge.
But those officers have already entered responding to the state charge. They already declared that they are not guilty. So the trial comes up soon. I think in January.
Right. Okay. And that's why I feel Chauvin changed. Rather than to appeal it, he went to a federal. He would accept a federal charge of guilty, and then. Hoping that he would, in future down the line, there would be more conducive to getting a pardon for this crime.
Okay, well, that's a point of view, but it requires us to wait a little while to see how it, in fact, does turn out, doesn't it?
Right.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's the reason I believe he changed his plea to be more to be he can't be immunized if the state finds him guilty, and it did, and he will be if he would get the federal. Okay, anyways, I made my point, so.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks so much your input today. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
It's going. What's up?
All right. What was the sedition question that was on the table? Was there a particular...
There was a question that I asked yesterday, and that was, what is the S word that nobody is using with regard to Donald Trump? And this effort that was staged in Washington, D.C., at his behest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And nobody got it.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I was listening to the show yesterday, and I heard you say it at the end, and I thought it was very interesting when you talked about it, because, you know, I thought about that as well. And, you know, I was listening to Lincoln talk about, you know, you and Lincoln having, I guess, a discussion. I'm not sure. But
I'm not sure either.
But, you know, I was surprised by him because, you know, sometimes he normally comes with good information. But if you've listened to the show, if you listen to your show as long as I have, and I've only listened to your show for about maybe about 6 or 7 years, I remember you did some shows about the fake Russian election gate that, you know, that supposedly won Donald Trump's presidency. So I don't know what he's talking about when he says that you were in support of it. I agree with you. That is,
I don't recall being in support of that at all.
Exactly. I don't recall that neither. So, and I know you did several shows on that. So, but in the sedition, and goes out to Lincoln as well. And I don't normally suggest, you know, watching particular shows, but there's a documentary on HBO call 4 hours at the Capitol. And basically, somebody put together archive footage of, you know, what happened, you know, video footage of the incident on January 6th. And they actually interviewed several people that were involved in it, and some of them have been prosecuted, you know, in regards to that. They said it out of their mouths. They were there to take over the Capitol. You cannot deny that. Many of those people who went in front of that camera said they were there to take over the Capitol. If that's not sedition, I don't know what that is.
But here's the funny part. They don't even know what they were there to do. What does take over the Capitol mean? What does that involve? And how prepared are you to do that? They're just talking.
Well, I mean, well, I don't know you, Trees, because looking at that video footage, they were doing more than just talking. I mean, they were there.
But don't forget that they are performing as well. They're performing. They know there's a camera, and they have to get certain things said and recorded so it becomes a record. But if you listen to certain people within that crowd, mm-hmm. you can see how brainwashed they were. And that comes directly from, in my view, from Donald Trump and his minions about how do you brainwash a whole bunch of people to do your bidding without them suspecting that that's what they're doing. And it was sad that nobody seemed to have stopped, paused, and thought about, what am I here to do? A guy's running around with a buffalo costume and very theatrical and everything. The last thing is on, last thing on his mind is that he is openly racist. And finding a convenient way to say, well, I'm radical. And how are you radical? Mm-hmm. By denigrating Native Americans. I mean, that's exactly. Not quite well thought out. But the word sedition, it's a very significant word in U.S. history. A lot of people were executed for sedition, the crime of sedition, because it means people literally attacking the foundation of a government so that they can take over and do whatever it is they want. We don't pay much attention to the word, but it would be helpful if we read about what sedition really is. And that's what I saw. I saw sedition all over the place. And I said to myself, but you know, there hasn't been a discussion really about sedition. It's about time we start raising it, especially in Congress. But nobody wants to use the word.
Yeah, I don't understand it neither, because you know, there's also critics of that documentary, and it's not a perfect documentary, but even the people who have reviewed that documentary, they don't even want to use that. And when I watched it myself, I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. They were there, you know, on acts of like you said, Donald Trump, in order to take over the Capitol. And that, to me, and I know you know you want to know what take over the Capitol is, but with the video footage that I saw, they were there more than just protesting the so-called
shit. This guy, Trump, used these people terribly. Now, here's Donald Trump. I talked about him constructing a parallel presidency, even though he was out of office. I talked about it. I delineated all the things that a president would have at his disposal that he created. May not have the same cachet, but it existed. He was receiving foreign governmental people. He had his White House in Mar-a-Lago. Florida. He was, in fact, the head of state of his own state, if you want to think of it that way. He was conducting business as usual as a president. Well, I see the time is up and we got to go, but we'll talk about sedition and what it is and why it is that people are dancing around it. Nobody wants to use the term. Nobody wants to accuse Donald Trump of sedition. And there's a reason. Because people used to be shot at dawn for committing treason and sedition in the United States. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in and contributing today. Bye-bye.